Hello and welcome to Brody Sports Talk, Season 5, Episode 6. My name is Derek Rusnick, and I will be your humble host as we talk about the Kings in the North, the NFC North preview. I'm joined, as always, by my favorite podcaster, Caleb Walgren. Caleb, how you been? How you doing?
It's a good time, man. Packers shareholder meeting was just recently. I went over, tried to get my decisions influenced on the team. And I like the way the team is shaping up this year. I'm sure we'll get more into that later in the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, so how did you vote on the new owner of the Commanders? Like, I know that all the owners had to get together and approve it. Do you like this guy?
I did approve. I think that in general, anyone who is not Dan Snyder is an upgrade over Dan Snyder.
Okay. Well, there we go. That is all of the information that we're going to need. So if you haven't listened to our preview episodes before, go ahead and go back and listen to a couple of them. They're really good. But we go over a couple of different topics here. We talk about arrivals and departures for each of the teams. We take the wins over under with a handshake and a high five bet with one another. We talk about any division awards we think is going to come out of that team. So could be most valuable player, rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, stuff like that. And then we each pick a game that we think is a key matchup for each of the teams, and we explain why. If you're new to the NFL, the NFC North has four teams: the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers, and the Minnesota Vikings. So we're going to start out, as we do every time, with the alphabetical order. And so we're starting out with the Chicago Bears. So looking at their arrivals, they brought over Tremaine Edmonds from Buffalo. He's an inside linebacker. One of my favorite players in the NFL, just to see him succeed. And that's Travis Homer, the running back from Seattle. And then they picked at number 10, they got Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle from Tennessee. I can't sing Rocky Top, but I definitely know that Sean, our reporter on assignment, is happy to sing Rocky Top whenever you request it as a Tennessee fan. So for me, like I said, I'm a big fan of Travis Homer, the running back. I think he can make an impact in the running game for the Bears, as we all seem to know the Chicago Bears are going to be running a lot. They have a running quarterback, and basically that's it. A quarterback that gives you hope. And so is there anyone that you wanted to focus on, Caleb, for new players that you think is going to help the team? Or is there someone on your list that you want to focus on?
I just want to talk a little bit about the Panthers of the North. You know, they traded for DJ Moore when they gave up the number one overall pick and moved back with Carolina. They got DJ Moore in that trade. So I think that they are hoping that he can catch some passes. You know, maybe they can get the passing game going with DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, and Darnell Mooney. Yeah, we'll see. They also brought in a player from the state north of them in Robert Tonyan to play tight end. It's going to be a little weird seeing him wear 18 as a tight end, but that does happen time to time where Packers leave and go to other teams. And I've got to bring it up because it's one of your favorite positions, Derek. PJ Walker is the backup quarterback there now. PJ Walker, DJ Moore, and Donta Freeman all came in from Carolina this past year. So it's a little weird that they were like, the Panthers know how to win some games in that South division. Let's take some of that talent. Even though the Panthers also did not win that many games in the South division, because no one in the South division won that many games. PJ Walker, I think it's interesting. You know that there's a chance that he may end up having to come in and play behind Justin Fields. You know, if Fields tweaks his ankle or just happens to get hurt on a run or, a pass play behind a bad offensive line, because they still have some things to work out there. When Alex Leatherwood is probably your swing tackle, you are hoping that you do not have any injuries at tackle. So it's still a rebuild. But I do think some of the players that I was able to highlight there, you mentioned Tremaine Edmonds. They also got TJ Edwards. So you have the Edwards-Edmonds linebacker duo at inside linebacker, which I think is going to be interesting. Who knows what's going to happen this year?
Yeah, that's a great point. I am a big Walker fan. He's just a football player. He's just a guy who goes out there, gives his very best, and just wants to get on the football field. So it's great to see him in an NFL uniform, whatever kind it is. So, as with when you bring players in, you have to say goodbye to some players. And David Montgomery, their running back, headed over to in-division rival Detroit. And then Riley Reiff, their tackle, went up to the Patriots. Riley Reiff has been around to a couple of teams recently, and I'm glad that he's getting some playing time and glad he's being picked up by teams. Especially, you know, offensive linemen have a short shelf life a lot of times, and it's good to see that a tackle is making good. Now, Caleb, my question for the departures part is, who are you most thankful is finally out of Chicago? Like, they can actually take a deep breath and, like, go play some good football now? Like, someone's like, hey, I'm glad this guy doesn't have to deal with Chicago anymore, because it's a poorly run organization.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and go with David Montgomery. I've got a soft spot for him. You know, he played well at Iowa State for several years. He was there before Breece Hall. And let's face it, he's going to a Lions organization that has completely rebuilt that running back room. I don't know if he's the leader of the depth chart with them investing so much. Well, we'll talk about the Lions more in a minute. But in general, being able to get out of Iowa State and then Chicago, like, maybe you can be on a team that has playoff potential. So it'll be interesting to see.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, you're right, David Montgomery. Good guy. Glad to see that he's going to a place that probably has a brighter future ahead. So we move over to our wins and our over-under bet there. So our number that we got, and Caleb, will you tell the fine people where we got our numbers from?
We got them from FanDuel this year.
The Fighting
Pat McAfee's sponsorship, if you want to. So, yes.
Yeah. So, the number for the Chicago Bears, as we currently sit, and it's probably going to change depending on training camp, is going to be 7.5. I'm going to let you toss it over to Caleb first for the, are you taking over 7.5 wins or under 7.5 wins for the Monsters of the Midway?
I'm going to go under. They had 3 wins last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think they improved that much. Yes, you got a new tackle. Yes, you have some depth. The rebuild is imminent. And if you go 6-11 or 7-10, I think it's a great year in Chicago. But you're still not hitting that 7.5. You're not going 8-9. Like, I just don't see them picking up 5 additional wins from last year. There's not enough talent at all levels of the defense. And while you do have some new receivers for Fields to build chemistry with, I think that that offensive line has still got some issues. Where are you at on them, Derek? Do you like the 7.5 or?
Okay, so I was recounting my numbers on teams that I think they could beat. So I don't think the Packers are going to be, the Buccaneers, no, Chiefs, no, Broncos, no. They could be the Commanders. So that's one, Raiders, two, Panthers, three, Browns, four, Cardinals, five, Atlanta Falcons, six. Now, all of those teams that I just talked about, probably on the upswing. So if they can get to six, I don't think they can get to eight. So I'm going to go under the 7.5 as I just, something just has to change in Chicago for me to say, yeah, they're on the upswing and they're improving. So I think we're going to go under, both of us are going to go under the Chicago Bears. So our next part here is the division awards. Looking at this roster is quite something. Let's put it that way. So if I'm looking at who I think could win an award for, I'm going to say Justin Fields could win Offensive Player of the Year. Certainly not an MVP candidate unless all of a sudden 11 wins comes out of Chicago, which I don't foresee that happening. But he is going to be running for his life. He is going to break his own record for amount of rushing yards by a quarterback in a season. He is going to, the only way to do that is if he, those new receivers that you talked about a moment ago would have to be catching the ball, and they'd have to put up like 35, 40 points a game for me to feel comfortable with that team. So, if there's one out there, it's going to be Offensive Player of the Year, and I would give that to Justin Fields. Caleb, I toss it over to you. What do you think?
I've got a bit of an odd one, and that's because we've talked about players from the university before at this position, but I'm going to go with Roschon Johnson for a potential Offensive Rookie of the Year. I just look at that Chicago running back room and I go, tell me where the stud is. Khalil Herbert backed up Montgomery for years. Mm-hmm. Donta Foreman also has been a backup, not really done well as a starter when he's had a chance. Roschon Johnson was behind Bijan Robinson, Travis Homer. He's been like second or third on the Seattle running back depth chart for a long time. Like, there's no one there that I say, this guy is clearly the front runner. And so I say, kind of like you did, if they're going to be running the ball a lot, get Roschon back there. Also, he was a high school quarterback, Derek. I think you get him in there for some key halfback passes. Him to Cole Kmet or something like that down by the red zone. All of a sudden, you get that highlight reel going, and the Offensive Rookie of the Year chances go up.
There you go. No, that's a really good point, and I think that, if there's one out there, that could be it. So I'm going to jump on the key matchup for the Chicago Bears, and I think that is going to be November 5th. This is right around the halfway point of the season. It is Bears at the Saints. So we will see we think will be who the Bears are versus who are the Saints. So are the Bears trending in the right direction? Are they putting things together? It doesn't really even matter if they are winning a bunch of games, but are they trending in the right direction? Are they Detroit from 2 years ago? Are they... Are we seeing that the offense is clicking, the defense is making stops, but they're just not winning those games? And on the other side of the ball are the Saints, who we believe they are, because they've been in a little bit of a tumultuous relationship the last 4 or 5 years. And so I think that that's going to show us, like, are the Bears who they think they want to be? And if they're going, like, 0-7 by that time, You know, maybe we don't see Justin Fields for a while after that, as you really don't want to get him injured or you give him a chance to be injured. Caleb, what is your key matchup?
My key matchup has to do with a departure elsewhere in the division. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be week one at Soldier Field when they host the Green Bay Packers.
Interesting.
If there's one thing that makes Bears fans happy, it is when they can go out and get some revenge on the Packers. It is the oldest rivalry in the history of the NFL. They have played each other so many times, 206 times if you include the postseason. And yet, the last time that the Bears won in this matchup was December of 2018. Yes, you heard me correctly.
Wow.
That was with Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky as the head coach quarterback combo. And the Packers were being coached by Joe Philbin because they had fired Mike McCarthy.
Wow.
So they have not beat LaFleur. As you might remember Aaron Rodgers saying after a touchdown in Soldier Field at some point recently, he owned them. He still owned them. And if you look back before that, Derek, it's actually so the second win when we're looking back for the Bears goes all the way back to 2015. The Packers have been dominating the series. They are waiting to find a way for something to happen. In that game in 2015, they had a touchdown pass from Jay Cutler and a running touchdown from Jeremy Langford. Like, we're talking about ancient history, it feels like, when I bring up those two players. So I think they're looking at it. They say the Packers have won 8 in a row. Before that, they won another 5 in a row. We need to get revenge. It is the first week of Jordan Love's rookie season. We're going to show up. This is Soldier Field, and we need to find a way to get this dub. And if they don't, their next two games are on the road, and then they have to host Denver, which is probably also a loss. And you pull to start 0-4.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, and that's a really good matchup. Start it right off the bat. If they're going in the wrong direction, we can see it from week one. Let's talk about someone or a team that is going in a better direction, and we'll see here in a minute on what people think about that direction. We're talking about the Detroit Lions. This is one of my dad's favorite teams. He wasn't a big NFL guy when he was with us, but he's from Michigan, and he rooted for the Detroit Lions when he saw them on TV. So, of course, we talk about first the arrivals and departures. One of the biggest arrivals is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the safety from Philadelphia. They had the number 12 overall pick in Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama. And then just a couple picks later, pick 18, they had Jack Campbell out of Iowa, the linebacker there. Anytime you can pick up a Jack Campbell, the guy's going to eat beans and steak and tackle guys with footballs. And then one of my favorite picks that they had this year, picks number 68, the quarterback out of Tennessee, Hendon Hooker, which he was hurt a good portion of the year, but he has a huge upside. And with Goff, you know, like giving a couple years behind Goff as a quarterback, as a backup quarterback, would definitely get him able to step right in. You know, because Caleb, you know all about quarterbacks getting drafted and sitting behind good quarterbacks. You know, that kind of stuff works.
Very familiar.
Yeah, so those are the arrivals that I wanted to pick out. The Lions are certainly making moves, big money moves, and big player name moves. Who do you want to highlight, Caleb?
So I'm going to go ahead. The new running back and tight end, Jahmyr Gibbs, coming in. We already talked about David Montgomery coming in. They're completely redoing the running back room. We can talk about that a little bit more in departures in a second. But I also love Sam Laporta coming in, getting a big red zone weapon that I think could help Jared Goff be able to get some completions down there in the red zone. And personally, I don't know if he'll make the roster, but I love seeing him here. Former Husker and then K-State Wildcat, Adrian Martinez is on the roster today. And you know what? He played his heart out for us at Nebraska during some rough Scott Frost years. I remember at one point reading that he was playing with us despite the fact that he had like a broken jaw. I don't know how on earth you do that at quarterback of all positions. And, you know, he played well at K-State. I'm happy for him. I hope that he somehow makes the roster. You know, let's, you know, maybe Hooker ends up on the PUP list. They bump Adrian up and Nate Sudfeld can get out of here. Like we need to keep three quarterbacks anyway. So I would love to see that happen, but it's probably a pipe dream for me.
You know, Adrian Martinez, I'm a big fan of his. I think wherever he was just a really good football player in college, and can't wait to see what if anything he can do in the NFL. Now, that being said, like Malcolm Rodriguez came from a sixth round pick out of Oklahoma State and became a starting linebacker on this Lions team. Just had a bunch of heart. Why can't Adrian Martinez do the same thing? Anything can happen. So let's talk about the departures. One of my favorite players that is the best in a press conference, that's Jamal Williams, the running back. He went over to New Orleans and taking his talents down south, eating that gumbo now, and having the best press conferences. I love nerds in the NFL, and Jamal Williams is a big anime fan, talks about it all the time, and wears like hoodies and caps with Pikachu on it. It's just the best. And then the wide receiver DJ Chark went over to Carolina. He knows all about like Jacksonville. He spent some time there. So he's going back down to the hot, hot, swampy area of the Carolinas. So, Caleb, let's move over to you. Who do you want to highlight on the departures?
I mean, you brought up Jamal Williams. I love that dude, especially for those of you who play fantasy football. The fantasy football name, Gotta Catch Jamal, it just goes really well for him. I hope you like that Pokemon reference, Derek. I got to catch you all. We got to bring up the fact that DeAndre Swift also was there and is now flying high with the Eagles. So it's Gibbs Montgomery. And there's a lot of carries that can be picked up because there's not the running backs that they had last year. I'm thinking that Dan Campbell, the famous kneecap buyer that he is, said that I think they got outbid for Williams to return personally. And then they said, well, let's go get some guys that we think are physical. And he probably talked to his defense and they said, man, I do not like tackling David Montgomery. And they said, this Jahmyr Gibbs running back from Alabama is really good. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see what happens, but I think in general that running back room is the largest turnover that we've seen anywhere. So I know that that's what you commented on as well. I had to go back to that source.
No, you're right about that. A really good point there from you. So our next point is the over-under win total for this team. And FanDuel has them, as we speak right now, at 9.5. So that is a big jump from what we've seen in the past for the Lions. I mean, normally we're expecting them, you know, have 5 or 6 win seasons. You know, they were one of the first to have an over season, that was 0 wins. And to see this Detroit Lions team with 9.5 wins really is something special. For me, I'm jumping on this one first. I'm going to go over 9.5 wins. Someone has to win games in the NFL. Someone has to win games in this division. And I think there's going to be 2 teams at the top of this division fighting, battling back and forth, fighting it out. And I think one of those teams is going to be the Detroit Lions. So I think they get to double-digit wins, and I think we see them in the playoffs.
I like where you're going. I think that I'm going to go over the 9.5 as well. I do find it interesting that they do not play a single one of their 6 divisional games until week 11. So all of their divisional games are between week 11 and 18. So I sure hope they're healthy for that divisional run. Otherwise, we're going to be looking a little bit crazy at this point. Well, I guess, no, I apologize. They had a Green Bay match on Prime Video on week 4, but so 5 in 8 weeks. It's still a lot. You don't want to have them quite that congested. Typically, it'll be interesting to see how the Lions do with that on their schedule, because if they start off well, they could come into that stretch and just get crazy tons of numbers and wins. But if they struggle, then they're going to have to win those divisional games to make sure they have those head-to-heads and get to that 10-win total.
Great. Yeah, that's a great point. I think you're right on that. I think we do see that that 10-win season. I'm going to toss it over to you, Caleb, to start out the any awards that you think could come out of the Detroit Lions. You know, maybe Coach of the Year, something we haven't really talked about for awards. But who do you got for players?
So you totally accidentally stole my thunder. I definitely think that Coach of the Year is something that Dan Campbell will be in the running for. You know, the Lions, they've been lovable losers for a long time, and I really feel like the identity of this team has been really rebuilt under his leadership. All of that being said, I want to see how things change. I want to know what Aiden Hutchinson can do. I want to know if he can go out and have that big sophomore year. You know, last year he made it into the NFL. This year, I think that they've got more talent on that defense. There's some more talent behind him with Jack Campbell, like you said, at linebacker. And I want to see Hutchinson try to make a push for defensive player of the year. I know that he needs the sack numbers up, but I do think that Aiden Hutchinson has the talent. It's just a matter of, does he get it done this year?
You're right about that. That he's on my list as well. I think that he could certainly, and we see that that edge rushers, quarterback sackers are certainly up there, and the defensive player of the year every year. I like the rookie Brian Branch coming out of Alabama, as I think that he could make an impact right away, where you may not have a high level sack, you know, like a quarterback sacker come out, but you have a really good, you might have some interceptions coming out of the safety position, something like that. And so I like Brian Branch as well for defensive rookie of the year.
Nice. I like it, Derek.
So what is your key matchup for the Lions? Where do you see them at?
So one matchup that really kind of intrigues me is they do have a standalone game on Saturday, December 30th in week 17 at Jerry World. They're going to take on the Dallas Cowboys. They're doing it on Saturday night before all of the New Year's Eve games on that following Sunday. And I just think It's sandwiched between a road game at Minnesota and then hosting Minnesota the final week. Mm-hmm. You would argue that those are probably the two best contenders for this division. I think that I want to know how they do. You know, they're going to be in prime time. They're going to be, I don't want to call it a trap game, but, you know, could this be something that influences the division? Could this be something that influences the wild card? I think there's going to be something going on that will matter. And I want to know, you know, hey, the lights are on. We're expecting something out of you. And you're playing a team that also at least has expectations. They may not always deserve them, but they have them in the Dallas Cowboys. So can you show up on primetime television when you're the only one in town? Because let's face it, it's not like it's just the Thanksgiving game for them this year. They have other big matchups like that.
So you are about 6 days too early for the key matchup. I am going, you're going week 17. I'm going to go week 16. That first matchup at the Minnesota Vikings. It is on Christmas Eve, the 24th of December. And this is the start of something. Are the Lions pushing for the playoffs? They go Vikings, Cowboys, Vikings. You know, three hard games at the end of the year. If they've stumbled throughout the first part of the year, losing a couple games they shouldn't have or something like that, you know, they're definitely going to have to go 3-0 in that last three games. So could Santa Claus in his big red bag bring a win to these Detroit Lions that he has given them coal for most of the years when it comes to Christmas Eve?
It'll be interesting. Anything can happen. Big road games in December. I think that you can't go wrong with either of those matchups. I like your call, Derek.
Yeah, so I don't want to talk about this next team. I don't really care about them. I don't think Caleb cares about them either. But, you know, let's just go ahead and get it out of the way. There's a team of Lick Cheese, and they are the Green Bay Packers.
Woo!
kind of a big deal for Caleb. So, Caleb, tell me, as the owner of the team, who you liked for their arrivals? Who's the new guys in town that you say, I'm glad I told the GM to bring this guy in?
So I really think that the double dip that they did at tight end in the draft is going to be really interesting. They went out and got Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. They also, from before, they had Josiah DeGuara. And I really kind of want to see, how does this match up during preseason? Because we have a lot of young tight ends. You know, I don't know who Jordan Love connects with. And are we potentially running more 12 personnel? You know, are we going out there with a running back and two tight end? Because the pressure shouldn't all be on this year. You've got Aaron Jones. You've got A.J. Dillon. You want to be able to run the ball and control the game and control the tempo and let your defense do what it does. So I think that Musgrave and Kraft are going to be interesting to see as far as the offensive side of the ball is concerned. And with defense, you know that I love it. Derek, I love getting sacks on the quarterback. Preston Smith and I think Rashawn Gary are probably going to be the primary two pass rushers. But I do think you get to a situational thing. Lucas Van Ness can come out. He is the rookie that they took with the Jets first round pick when we went up two spots and got that. And I want to see what happens. I think that you put out there on the field potentially as a positional pass rusher. We also still have just a lot of talent we haven't seen from even some of the prior years. You know, what are Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt going to do? I know they're not rivals, but I'm intrigued by the defensive group as well.
I'll agree with you 110%. I want to see Lucas Van Ness do what he is going to do. Anytime that you can spell Lucas with a K, I am in, like Flynn. Just let's go. Let's see what you can do. I'm all in. And I think that's probably going to be a long term. This was a really good pick for the Packers. It may not be a 2023 bright shining star, but it's going to be a 2025, 2026. Oh man, do you remember when we got Lucas Van Ness? He's doing things on the defense that, you know, we're seeing. So that's a really great arrival for the Packers. So everybody that has left the Packers basically went to the Jets. I laugh and kid, but so the longtime quarterback of the Packers requested nicely that he no longer wanted to play for the Packers. He decided this in the dark in a retreat and said, "Hey, I want to still play football, but I don't want to play for you anymore." So Aaron Rodgers has gone to the New York Jets. As we said before, that pick from the Jets in the first round was Lucas Van Ness. But along with them went Alan Lazard, their wide receiver. And then Big Bob Tonyan, the tight end, went to Chicago. We talked about him a little bit in the Chicago segment. So where do you think is the biggest impact player for you, Caleb, that you were, hey, this is the piece that definitely it's good that they moved on, but we're going to see it in the long run.
So in general, I think a lot has been said about the players that are leaving on a jet plane and going to New York. You know, like you said, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers, like the list goes on and on. I think one that is slightly under the radar that actually just recently happened in the Jets secondary that didn't return to Green Bay is Adrian Amos. Mm-hmm. Apparently he's been more double zero, but we had signed him after the failure of a draft pick that was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Mm-hmm. One of the funniest names, but one of the worst defensive players that we took during that time period. And, you know, we have someone that's a bit of a challenge back there at free safety. Now we've got Rudy Ford, who kind of had been on like the practice squad for the Jaguars for a while. And the other person that we have back there is Jonathan Owens, who is probably best known for being Mr. Simone Biles. Yeah. Put that in your rivals. We have Simone Biles as a Packer fan now. I do think it's going to be interesting, but I think that if you ask me, Caleb, where are you worried on defense? It's going to be that free safety position.
Okay. Yeah. It's a really good point. I am looking forward to the era of love. So since 92, the Packers have had Hall of Fame level quarterback play. And I know a couple years back, I was watching the draft and that first round pick comes in is Jordan Love. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand this. Like, you have Aaron Rodgers there. And even if when you don't, like, are you really looking, like, do you need a quarterback right now? But, from what I'm hearing, and I'm hearing reports, I'm not seeing it with my own eyes. I'm not one of the owners like you are, Caleb. But from what I've seen, Jordan Love has looked pretty good this offseason in this short time of training camp. And from what I've heard, a lot of the team is behind him and really excited for him to start. So I think, I can't wait to see what he does. The ups and downs that he has as with being a quarterback in the NFL. And what do you think?
I think when Jordan Love came into the league, he produced back-to-back MVP seasons. It just so happened that it was for the guy that was in front of him trying to play with the chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to get MVP play by drafting a quarterback in the first round. More teams should do that. I don't think that happens for most teams, but you're not going to be upset by that. I do think that in general, it's time for some in Green Bay. You know, the relationship between Rodgers and the Packers was hurting. So it's time for Love to come in. We need to heal. We need to potentially hug one another and just figure out how to love it. And I do think that Jordan Love, I've heard good things as well. I'm intrigued because I think a lot of the Packers are like, we're not going to drop off the way you expect us to. I'm not going to sit here and say Jordan Love is going to have an MVP season or Jordan Love will have better stats than Aaron Rodgers this year. I think in general, let's not get too competitive over the top in our predictions.
Okay.
But I think he's okay.
Yeah, certainly. Okay, so let's go with the over-under win total. And this is yours. Tell me what you think. So the number that we have is 7.5 for the Green Bay Packers. Packers over, Packers under. Tell me what you think.
I'm going to go ahead and go over. I do think that with the NFC staying on the schedule this year, it is going to be a good way for us to see about trying to rack up some wins. I do think that it's going to be an interesting and a bit of a chaotic year. I think it could be 8-9 or 9-8. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the Packers are the best team in the division. No, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know a ton of everything that's going to happen. I do think it's interesting that the only day that we play the Lions on is Thursday. I don't know how on earth we got that to happen this year, but yeah, I'm excited to see how all of that goes for them, but I think that they can clear that 7.5 hurdle. And if nothing else, it's because we have a defense that we trust. We have a head coach that has found wins. You know, even McCarthy towards the end of his time with Rodgers was not able to win with Rodgers. It's not like Rodgers magically gets the team wins. Yes, he's good, but it's not just him. So I'm going over the 7.5.
So we're friends, Caleb, and I don't want our friendship to change. I'm taking the under. I am hammering the under. I think this team wins 5 games. And I know you own them and all that kind of jazz. I can't see with so many changes to this this team. I don't know how they get to 8 wins.
Well, we do play the Raiders once, so that's a good one for us.
Yeah, there's 16 other games they have to deal with.
I at least wanted to point that one out. Yeah.
So let's look at some division awards. So I was talking about them up and down, but I think Defensive Rookie of the Year could be Lucas Van Ness. If he gets a good rotation in there, gets his playing time, and shows what he why they drafted him as high as they did, he could easily be Defensive Player of the Year. I'm sorry, Defensive Rookie of the Year, not Player of the Year. That's a I'm not
That'd
sure
be awesome.
To get to that level. That would definitely get him above 7.5 wins. Caleb, I toss it over to you. Who do you think on that team could win some other awards?
Give me Aaron Jones potentially for Offensive Player of the Year.
Uh-huh.
I think that they are going to lean on him more. He is going to be the star, and he deserves it. He's been good, and they paid him not knowing if Rodgers was going to come back several years ago. It's time for him to be featured. You know, when I said that I was excited about the tight ends, I do think that they probably are going to run the ball more. You know, we got a new fullback. Let's run. Let's grind. Let's let Jordan play action. And let's keep the offense simple yet efficient. I think Aaron Jones is going to go out and another double-digit touchdown season. And if the Packers play well, we'll get some credit. And Aaron Jones will also get a lot of credit.
That's good news right there. So my key matchup is going to be week four versus the Lions. This is September 28th. And for me, this is the first real test that the Packers are going to have. So their week one is the Bears. Their week two is Atlanta Falcons. Week three is the New Orleans Saints. All three of those first 3 weeks of the season, are teams that are not great last year and don't expect to be, high-level caliber talent. So Detroit's the first team on the schedule here that says this team was supposed to be good. So I am going to say that week four versus the Lions, and then is Green Bay in love with their quarterback? We'll see. We'll have a couple of games in. The growing pains should be out of the way. He's been there 3 years, so he should know the offense and all that kind of stuff. Get the rust off of him the first couple of games. And if he plays well in that Detroit game, I see really good things in Green Bay.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a little bit of a different one here. And I'm going to go ahead and take week 10 when the Green Bay Packers go to Pittsburgh and take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's on Sunday, November the 12th. In general, I just feel like the Steelers are one of those historic teams that finds ways to win games. The Packers also typically end up in that discussion. I feel like we, despite the fact that we have been good for several years, even when we face the Steelers, it's just not a sure thing. We struggle against them. So I'm actually looking back and since 2000, we've lost four games and won two against them. We just don't do well facing the Steelers. And one of those wins was the Super Bowl, so that does help. I think in general, we want to see that matchup. We want to see how we compete against Mike Tomlin and his guys, because you know that both teams should be well coached, show up well. And if you don't show up well during that game, we know that it's going to be a rough end to the season.
You're right about that. So let's move on from the Green Bay Packers to our final team in this NFC North preview, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. So looking at the arrivals of the Vikings that have come over on the ship, we have Byron Murphy, the cornerback from Arizona, Marcus Davenport, the DN from New Orleans, and then they had a really exciting pick at 23 of Jordan Addison out of University of Southern California, USC. And then pick 102 went back to the USC well and picked up Makai Blackmon. And I really want to see what Jordan Addison does in this Kevin O'Connell offense. I think he's got a really good young rookie receiver for his offense, and a lot of good veteran defense on the back end with the Byron Murphy and the Marcus Davenport. Caleb, I toss it over to you. Is there anyone that you wanted to talk about on the arrivals, or anyone of your own that you saw?
I think you brought up a lot of great things and interesting players there. And I think that one thing that may end up going a bit under the radar is they have a new defensive coordinator in Minnesota this coming year. And I remember we talked about it when we were talking about coaches during the offseason, but they have Brian Flores coming in to coach that defense. This defense was bad last year. They are in players Dean Lowry from the Packers and to be a pass rusher. Marcus Davenport's also, like you mentioned him. Danielle Hunter should be back and healthy. Of course, they always have Harrison Smith back there at safety. I want to know, how can Brian Flores make this defense feel different? You know, Kevin O'Connell came in and made the offense feel different last year. I know what I think I'm going to see from that offense. A lot of 11 personnel, a lot of Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson, and probably, like you said, Jordan Addison. What's going to happen on the defense? Can Flores actually get them to turn around? Because if he can, I may be wrong about how I'm feeling about a lot of the Vikings here, but I definitely think that Flores has his work for him.
That's a really good point that I hadn't thought of before, but that's really smart of you. So let's talk about some departures. So one of my favorite guys to over the last couple of years, Adam Thielen, has gone over to Carolina. I think he's going to have a really good future down in Carolina with Mr. Young, their new quarterback down there, over number one overall pick. I think he's still got a couple of yards left in his knees there. Patrick Peterson has going over to Pittsburgh. The strange one to me is the Dalvin Cook. You know, we talked about it last week in the Brody Bites episode, where the running back market is just not what it used to be, and Dalvin Cook has been known as Mr. Minnesota Vikings. And so it's a little strange to me that that's what's happening. So Caleb, tell me about what you think about those departures.
I mean, I agree. I think that Dalvin Cook leaving is leaving a big hole back there. I don't think that Alexander Mattison and Ty Chandler are a dynamic, like, two-headed monster running back. Plus, for whatever reason, when the Packers played Dalvin Cook, he would take our lunch every time. Like, he was someone who I didn't want to see because he was going to destroy us. So kind of earlier, like when you said, who are you happy he's out of Chicago? I'm happy that Dalvin Cook isn't there. Like, I think that this was a mistake by the Vikings to let him go. Because I think they're going to miss him. And then it'll be interesting because we've talked about running back markets. I mean, he's still not signed. Who knows where he could end up going? But I think that they're really going to miss what he does. And I think that Adam Thielen is underrated as well, because he was a veteran presence in that wide receiver room. And now your veteran presence is Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne. Like, that's just not quite the same.
I'll agree with you on that one. I'm big fan of Adam Thielen. And I definitely, I think that, you know, not just always on the field, but in the film room and stuff like that, Adam Thielen was a big presence there. Looking at the over-under for their win total, we have 8.5 for the Vikings. Now, if you haven't been listening in, the Detroit Lions are expected to win 9.5 games. The Vikings are expected to win 8.5 games. A little bit crazy to me that the team that was the first, the best team in the division last year, is not expected to win more games than Detroit. Just it's a little weird. But for me, I think the Vikings are going to be good. I think they take a step forward, and I go over on the win total, as I think they get to double digits.
That's intriguing, Derek, because I actually am going to go under.
Okay.
I think that them winning the division, they've got some just tough matchups. You know, you've got Philly, San Francisco. Their cross matchup in the AFC is Cincinnati. Like, there's just some matchups there that you didn't really want to draw. Plus, the fact that they played both of their games against the Lions earlier last year when the Lions were struggling. Then the Lions came back. They finished the year hot. The Vikings were kind of up and down a lot throughout the year. Like, let's not forget the Saturday game that they played against the Colts, and they were basically down 35-0 at the half against a Jeff Saturday coach team. It was not an impressive performance. They came back, but you don't always get that lucky. And I just don't trust them. So I'm going under the 8.5. I think that there's going to be some sort of regression to the mean. And some of the things that went just right for them last year are going to go just wrong for them this year.
Yeah, that's probably a really good point. Sometimes the tough teams on your schedule, when you become one of them for other teams, that could definitely mean something. And I think the Vikings, in my opinion, have become one of those teams that are tougher on the other teams on their schedule. Moving over to some division awards. Now, there's a bunch of stuff that pops out here that that could be there. We could see a lot of, defensive player of the year, maybe. But for me, I'm going to go offensive rookie of the year, going back to Jordan Addison. I really do think that he has an opportunity to get a lot of balls thrown his way because of the guy that's on the other side of the field. When you have bracket coverage and double coverage on Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison's on the other side and you're going to have to single cover him. He's been really good at busting that single coverage and getting some yards. And I don't think this is going to be a deep receiving class. I think there's the other guys that have come out there are not going to put up the yards that Addison will. So I think that if there's anyone out there that can win the rookie of the year, it could be Jordan Addison.
I mean, I'm going to go with the chalkiest answer of the day. Yep. Justin Jefferson for potentially MVP. I do think that there's offensive player of the year candidacy is almost too easy to say. I do think if we say that your side of things is accurate and the Vikings win the division, potentially, our top four team in the NFL, it's Justin Jefferson. Forget the fact that Kirk Cousins has a Netflix documentary right now. I think that Justin Jefferson and Gritty would be the thing that we would all be seeing and remembering because, yes, I do think Jordan Addison could show up well also, but I think that you stick with the man who has basically reinvented the offense around himself, and that is Justin Jefferson.
Now you're very right about that tossing. You could very well see him win MVP because he'll be very valuable if Kirk Cousins can get the ball out and he. I think if he becomes that Cooper Kupp type where Cooper Kupp had that season where he was just catching everything and a bunch of yards I think he won the offensive player of the year that year. You don't have to worry about the quarterback so much. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a little bit streaky, but I think that he's going to be able to get the ball out when he needs to, and Justin Jefferson is going to make something with it. So that's a really, really good point. Looking at the key matchup, I'm going to toss it over to you for their key matchup for the Vikings. Where are you looking at?
I'm looking at a primetime game. Why? Because we're talking about Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. They struggle with them typically. It's not their best thing. This is their only home game in the midst of four games because they have a road game before and two road games after. I'm looking at Monday Night Football as they host the San Francisco 49ers, Derek's favorite band team, at U.S. Bank Stadium, where I heard Brock Purdy is cleared for training camp, like fully cleared. So we know that that's going to be the Purdy show. And, I don't trust that the Vikings have enough on defense to shut down Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, and I don't trust them on their offensive line enough to stop people like Nick Bosa and not have someone like Hufanga get an interception off of Kirk Cousins in that game. I probably butchered that name. I'm sorry. But I do think that in general, if we want to know if the 49 or if the Vikings are a contender, take down the team that was the runner-up in the NFC last year at home, at your place, in a primetime game. Show us that you can win when all eyes are on you, because normally you struggle in that position.
That's a really good point. So I want to bring up a point that I had just a moment ago, where I think the Vikings are taking a step forward, and they're going to be a team that other teams have to look forward to on their schedule and make sure they're playing toward them. And so that's going to be week 15 at Cincinnati. Are the Vikings a contender or a pretender versus what we now know as a really good team? You know, the last 3 or 4 years now, Cincinnati has shown that they are building in the right direction. Always in the AFC championship game, you know, right up there with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Joe Burrow is you know, fighting for that. Who's the second best AFC quarterback? Stuff like that. So when you go up against teams that are in that range, the Vikings have to show whether or not they are that team, or if they're, like Caleb said, regressing back to the mean. So I like it. I think we've covered everything for the North. Any final thoughts on the NFC North other than rooting for your team?
So I think that in general, with all those win totals, I think that you can expect a little bit of chaos. I expect teams to be able to beat up on each other a little bit. Who knows exactly who's going to come out on top? I think health is going to play a big factor. And I think, like I said, a lot of these matchups are late in the year. Even the Vikings finish with 3 straight divisional games. If they're not healthy at that point, the season could easily go to Detroit, because they play each other 2 out of those last 3 weeks. So it'll be interesting. I just expect a lot of chaos, and I expect it to come down to December.
Yeah, really good. A really good point there. So we appreciate everyone listening to our NFC North preview. We put these out to give a little bit of information, a little bit of our opinions, and just to take a look at each of the divisions. We think we are a 5-star podcast. So if you have the ability to leave us a review or rating on your favorite podcasting platform, go ahead and do that. We'd be happy to, anything that you have to say, how we can improve, how we can, what you're enjoying, and, just let's interact with our, is it still Twitter? Is it, or is it X, or are we?
My phone Zippy? Still says Twitter. My phone still says Twitter on it. So
the handle on that website is at Brody Talk. Our link tree, linktr.ee/Brody Talk. If and when we need to update our at or any of our other links, it'll be on there. So just go to our link tree. We'll be updating that if it needs to change.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Caleb.
No, I was just going to say, absolutely. We'll definitely update the link tree if it needs to be updated.
Yeah. So on behalf of Caleb, my name is Derek. Do me a favor and have a wonderful day.
Bye, y'all.